Welcome back to Plot Pit, forging fiction from fact and folklore. Today in studio, we have William Atkinson, myself, and
John LeMay,
and a very special guest on the phone, Declan Finn. Declan, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Excellent. So, John, you have materials for today's brain hash. What are they?
It all revolves around gold and golden birds, so it'll be interesting.
Golden birds. All right, well, let's begin the descent and find out what's going on. But before we do that, let's introduce Declan Finn to our listeners, as we are doing a very special author trilogy this week. We have this episode for the Plot Pit Brain Hash. That is our typical format. Then we have an author interview coming out tomorrow, and then we will do the final episode with another Brain Hash session on Thursday. Declan, introduce yourself for our listeners, please.
I am Declan Finn. I am the author of about 30 published novels. It's probably over that by now, but I've stopped counting. I will write in any genre. I have written thrillers. I have written mysteries. I have written urban fantasy, horror. I have technically written a, quote, vampire romance, end quote. But I gotta tell you, I might have too many explosions for it to fit neatly into that genre. As I have often described, I don't quite write shoot-em-ups. Blow-em-ups, yes. Shoot-em-ups, not so much. And I usually wind up getting compliments in my reviews for my fight scene, so let's go with that.
Okay, so kind of an action author.
I believe it was Chandler who once wrote, when the plot's getting slow, sending somebody through the door with a gun. I might have taken that advice a little bit too literally and apply it maybe a skosh too often.
You know, John has the Billy the Kid mythos going on with his 21 Gun series. And we did a story therapy session on one of your fight scenes, actually, where a guy came through with a gun and a door.
Yeah, and that made the whole scene work. So you're absolutely right.
Okay, so we will dive more into Declan's work and materials and books in tomorrow's episode, where we actually do the author interview. Today, John.
Yeah, so Declan, I promise I'm not going to hog the whole show. I just tend to hog the first 5 minutes or so to kind of get us going, because a lot of our listeners, they really enjoy our real history we spiel out, because we've got some weird ones for you today.
Okay.
So both of our main stories, what I call the main stories, and then we've got some side stories, but the main stories both come from Texas in the year 1953. Hmm. And so our first story takes place in April, and it involved what the newspapers of the time called a Latin American carnival worker, who was basically a con man swindler. And he conned about 10 different families in the Austin, Texas area out of several hundred dollars each. And his way of conning them was very unique. It was almost kind of like you could compare him almost to a leprechaun. So just imagine yourself, you hear a knock on your door and you see this man outside, and he tells you, "I, believe it or not, know that there is a buried treasure in your backyard. Now, obviously it's on your property, so it should be yours. But if you let me help you find this treasure, will you let me have just a little percentage of it? Will you pay me a couple $100?" And I have to wonder how many people probably just shut the door on his face, but apparently there were at least 10 that did not. And they actually let him go into their backyards and dig. And I don't know if this guy put the pot of gold in there, like if he came the night before and buried this pot of gold in their yard, but according to these 10 victims, they said that the man did dig into their backyards or on their property, and he dug up a literal quote-unquote pot of gold, and he showed them this pot with the gold coins in him. But there was a catch. The gold is cursed. That's what he told them. So he was basically preying upon very superstitious people. And he said, "Okay, this gold is cursed, but what we're going to do, we're going to put it in a wooden crate and put it in your closet, and you can't open it for 30 days. That's how long it takes the curse to go away. You can pray over it and make it go away. Let it sit there for 30 days. But I want you to give me at least $600 for, you know, what I did for you, because this gold is worth $100,000. That's what he'd tell them, and they would actually give him the $600, $500, $300, whatever they could give him. And then 30 days later, when they would open the crate, the pot of gold was now just full of dirt. So how he accomplished all that is anybody's guess. Who knows how he must have hid it in the backyard, but it's almost kind of magical. So I think of this guy as kind of like some sort of Henri Leprechaun or something. So that's story element number one. Story element number two. A few months later in Texas, again, let's see, I think this was in the Houston area. They had sightings of a kind of a winged human being similar to Mothman. You know, today we have the Mothman legend. You know, this was before Mothman, so they called this guy the Houston Batman. And they described him, again, as just a bird-like human. He had kind of like a gray glow about his body. And William, you look poised to say something.
Oh, dear. I just wish I could hit the Batman theme music there.
Yeah. Well, that would probably be a copyright strike, too, but, you know.
Yeah.
So, okay, how I picture tying this Houston Batman in with the gold. So we're going to go very briefly to South America. I don't really want to use South America in our story, but it's just for background information. So again, this is another real newspaper article. This one dates back to 1868 in Chile. Some miners were literally walking out of a mine, a gold mine, and they see this huge bird-like creature flying through the skies. And it's basically just a big bird. But its feathers sounded like metal scales clanking together as it flew, so it was very strange. And this was also in April when they saw this, April 1868, not April Fool's Day, just April of 1868. In June, later that summer, they saw the bird creature at night, and this time it was glowing like gold. And so I researched that for one of my books, and I discovered that South America has a mythical creature called the Alicanto. And the Alicanto was a golden bird that could either lead you to gold or eat gold. So my thought process here is that we make the con man in Austin in April of 1953, we make him some sort of a leprechaun. That's my concept. We don't have to stick with it. That's just my jumping off point. And the quote-unquote Houston Batman is some sort of variation of the South American Alicanto, which is also connected with gold. So to me, our story basis where we jump off is we've got a leprechaun dealing with gold. We've got an Alicanto type creature dealing with gold. Are they working together? Are they fighting against each other? How are they connected? What is our conflict? And that is my jumping off point.
Okay. Well, I guess that depends on where you wish, what genre you wish this to go in, because step one, the beastie in Latin America is the same thing that shows up in Houston because, cryptozoological creatures follows the communities that they're part of. That's step one. So it could be the same exact creature or a variant. That either one works for me. If you're going for urban fantasy or horror, well, it's made of gold, or it looks like it's made of gold, so of course it must eat gold in order to survive, and it's, well, after all, if your leprechaun is going to have a pot of gold, well, I'm sure that you could always, our beastie from Latin America can, you know, hunt down the leprechaun, because obviously he's got gold, and the leprechaun has to keep moving, because, you know, unlike a human, yeah, you can't really trip into this thing because it's just going to eat the gold, or if it's peckish enough, just eat the leprechaun because, you know, they're just a nice little snack along the way. I'm sure it's about as healthy for the Latin American creature as, as junk food is for us, but, you know, a leprechaun every so often isn't going to hurt anybody, right?
Yeah.
Now, you were saying the name of the creature was what again?
The Alicanto.
Alicanto, okay. Assuming I don't screw up the name, I'm going to feel a lot less stupid if I use the name instead of the creature. So, item one, the Alicanto is hunting the leprechaun, and you have a nice little urban fantasy story where the person the leprechaun is conning, for lack of a better term, is, oh look, the leprechaun came, he popped up with his gold, he disappeared, and now there is a string of dead people, because the Alicanto showed up, it was pissed that there was no gold, and tore apart the first thing that came across its line of sight, i.e. the poor con victim. So you can have a kind of Harry Dresden-ish urban fantasy procedural where you just follow the bodies and try to figure out what's going on. I kind of like that one. Next genre, if you want, you can continue the con, where it's, you know, your leprechaun shows up with the gold, and it's, you know, first, it's, well, after all, this pot of gold is hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, just give me a few hundred and I'll be out of your way. And then the Alicanto shows up and starts harassing the people in the house. And then the scam becomes, Sure, that wee beastie. I'll be happy to help you get rid of him for a little bit extra money. So you can have an urban fantasy con game where they are in cahoots. Or you don't even necessarily have to be in cahoots. He just knows that the Alicanto is hunting down this particular treasure. And it could be A, he's hoping that the people in the house get rid of the Alicanto for him, if only by luck. Or they can be together and it's more of the extortion scam. So that's number two. Option three, you make it look like, oh, pick any heist TV show where, yes, the Alicanto is actually a hologram. That's why it shows up at night. It's harder to see. The special effects don't get in the way. And it's still a con game. It's just one quote-unquote leprechaun with some fancy special effects and laser-projected holograms.
Okay, Declan. So, I mean, this is a show about ideas, so we can run with any of them. But the one that you said that finally, like, sparked my imagination was the leprechaun is trying to trap the Alicanto. And so each house is he's somehow trying to trap it. Now, we don't have to keep sticking with that, because this isn't anything I plan to use, but we just want to come up with interesting ideas. And I see William looks like he has something.
So I'm chomping at the bit here, thinking the trapping scenario and a Ghostbusters idea. Okay, so each one of these houses are potential, say, portals to the netherworld or something. And the leprechaun knows this. Somewhere along the way, all right, this Alicanto, this is going back. So say the prelude of the story, ancient king, say of Babylon, wants to be able to touch things and turn them to gold. Now, we all know this story, right? Doesn't end well for the king, but let's take that and twist it. What ends up happening is, you know, he's given this opportunity by this particular leprechaun in Austin, Texas. So this is an ancient leprechaun. So he tricks this king into this situation where, hey, if you find my pot of gold, you can have magical powers. So the king figures this out. He ends up touching gold or touching things. They all turn to gold like food. Now he realizes, hey, in a few days, I'm going to die. But he's found a wizard somewhere or a magician or somebody who has been able to basically reverse the curse only quasi-like. But this king has to actually possess the pot of gold of this leprechaun. Then in the process of this, he turns into the Alicanto. So now he's this mythical, this king becomes this mythical creature of gold that flies around, does all of this stuff, okay? And he has the power to turn things to gold, but he can only eat gold.
I just want to throw this out there before we go any further. You know, the Alicanto could be misunderstood in terms of what it is, and it's really an angel. That's why it's looked at as a bird of gold. And there's also a lot of association of gold being the metal of heaven with the golden streets.
And sure.
So we could also play with, both Latin America and Ireland are both heavily steeped in Catholicism and heavenly things and aspects. So, I mean, we could also go from our Irish leprechaun and our Alicanto lore to more Catholic heavenly type lore too with gold. So
we've even got the Catholicism and the Protestant conflict in Ireland, mm-hmm. which could play into this. So going back to my idea very quickly, let me finish that off. You've got this king. He gets tricked by this leprechaun and then is kind of quasi-healed, turns into the Alicanto. But he has to have the pot of gold from the leprechaun. Now the leprechaun has been tracking him down over the years to get that gold back, but it's hidden in a netherworld portal. Mm. Okay. So let's say limbo, if we wanted to where it's not based in heaven, not based in hell, somewhere in the middle. And the leprechaun is going from place to place to place around, say, the nexus lines of the earth for all of these portals. And it just happens to be that all of the houses that happened in the 50s or whatever in Austin sat on these little spots, and he's trying to get into that world to get his pot of gold back.
Yeah. And so basically by that logic, he didn't plant the pots of gold there as a con man. The pots of gold are really there. And when the gold vanishes and turns into dirt, maybe that means that the Alicanto ate the gold. So we've established our conflict, I guess, between the leprechaun and the Alicanto. And Declan, where do you think maybe it goes from there?
Tracking part of the history is, you know, yes, Galicanto and the Leprechaun played this game in Northern Ireland for a bit, I'm certain. And then, you know, one or both of them now has a limp because they got a little bit too close to a car bomb. And, you know, it wasn't exactly mutually agreed upon. It was more along the lines of one or the other decided, let's play this game somewhere else where they're not shooting at us. Or at least not shooting at them per se, but let's not get in the crossfire because car bombs don't exactly have a, friend or foe detection system. And I don't know what it takes to kill a leprechaun, but I suspect a car bomb will at least get its attention. And again, it's going to depend on which one you want. We got three options. The leprechaun's the good guy, the Alicanto's the good guy, or they're both just supernatural pests that need to be gotten rid of. So depends on how you want to do it. Oh, look, the leprechaun decided to take some of the boys who are now unemployed in Northern Ireland. It's like, yeah, well, lads, you're busy blowing up bank vaults and robbing banks. Come with me to the new world. I'm coming. We've got some gold to find.
Classic cartoon from Looney Tunes cartoon just popped into my head with the portable hole.
Oh, yeah. Right. The coyote had the hole that he had paint, and then, yeah.
Or now any one of those good guy versus, cop versus robbers thing, and the robber gets the hole and goes to the bank and throws it up against the wall, can walk in and out, the portable hole.
Okay. Well, so now what I'm thinking is, so we've got basically two supernatural creatures on the loose, no clear good guy. We need a good guy.
It is 1950s. We could go back to the old monster on the loose idea.
We could, but I'm pulling into my memory banks of Irish mythology, and I'm thinking of Declan. He might correct me on the name. Ireland had kind of a monster hunter named Finn McCool. What was his name?
Finn McCool, yeah.
Okay, so I'm thinking, yeah, good. Okay, so I'm thinking of one of Finn McCool's descendants who immigrated to America. And he's, maybe that's the hero's arc as he learns that he descends from the lineage of Finn McCool. And it's now up to him to defeat the leprechaun. And maybe his love interest is a woman from South America. And her lineage and her destiny is to defeat the Alicanto. So you have the love story between these two heroes that have to defeat the respective demons from their past mythologies. That's where my mind goes to make like an easy story out of. But we could definitely go the 1950s monster route as well. That's just my easy way of doing it.
I like this love interest thing.
Okay.
I do. I like adding an extra element to deepen the story, but still keep it action-based, mm-hmm. like what Declan's interested in.
Yeah. What do you think, Declan?
If we're going to make it a 1950s... How literally do you want to go with 1950s monster movie? Because if we literally make this the 1950s, that could add some interesting cultural plot points. Although you say, we're going to have a hero set in Houston, my first thought is, okay, so Texas Ranger?
Could be.
Ooh, Finn McCool, Texas Ranger.
Oh, yeah, that is kind of cool.
Okay, so you've got these two supernatural pests, a leprechaun and an Alicanto, with a personal grudge. Neither one's good, neither one's bad. But they're causing havoc, and Finn McCool shows up in Austin as, or the Finn McCool genealogical lineage, mm-hmm. okay, ends up in Austin and working as a Texas Ranger. Do we get Chuck Norris in on this film?
No, he would overshadow it. That'd be too much. But I'm thinking, yeah.
You talk to his brother, and he's the executive producer.
Ah, got it.
So I'm okay. Now we're on this route of the Texas Ranger. I'm thinking the Texas Ranger, Finn McCool, is on the trail of a really hot female bank robber who is from South America, but she's robbing banks for good reasons. She's actually getting some of the cursed gold out of the banks. And she's like, I have to get this cursed gold. You don't understand. Because if the leprechaun gets it or the Alicanto gets it, bad things are going to happen. I'm going to say there's a fixed amount of pots of gold. The article talked about 10. Let's just say 13, because 13 is usually kind of a cursed number. So there's three other pots of gold or something that have to be found. And let's say our end game is if the Alicanto eats all the pots of gold, it will grow into some indestructible monster that can't be beat. And maybe the leprechaun isn't in competition with it. Maybe it's actually feeding this golden bird for its own villainous purposes. That's just, again, kind of where my mind goes.
Okay, may I suggest, if we're going to be playing this lineage, is our female bank robber's last name is Morietta.
Oh, I think I know where you're going with this.
Well, Joaquin Morietta was considered, you know, the Robin Hood of the West or El Dorado. So it depends on whether or not he actually exists, but that depends on which historian you ask.
And isn't he also the basis of Zorro, right?
I believe they stole the Morietta name for the Antonio Banderas Zorro, yes.
Okay. Oh, that's an excellent idea.
Thank you. But last time I checked, I don't think the original Zorro novel had anything to do with the Moriettas. But we can retake the original robber idea. And it's just a family business.
I love it. I love it because that's such a great way, again, because Mick Cool has his lineage and we didn't really decide what her lineage would be. So that's perfect.
I like this. So.
Okay. Anyway, you were saying.
All right. We've established the instigating points. Yeah. We have a middle part with a love interest mm-hmm. going on and yeah. explanation of some of these genealogical lineages and everything else, right? So some backstory being brought to a crescendo.
Yeah, and the middle part is great too because you've got conflict between the two heroes that have to learn how to work together, and they're all it's also a romance, you know, so it's not just two heroes butting heads, it's a potential romance. So yeah, I mean, obviously the end is just stopping the bad guys, which is usually pretty easy once you figure out, you know, I guess where I'm going is a fake pot of gold or something to lure the Alicanto. I don't know. That's just, but what, yeah.
I want to put this in a building and we'll have Declan bring in our heroes with guns.
Okay.
So Declan, go for it.
Well, do you have a type of building you want to shoot for? Just, give me office building, stadium.
Oh, since
skyscraper. It's got to be a skyscraper up high.
No. We're in Austin, Texas. This is the capital of Texas and it's the Capitol building.
Oh, okay.
Pink granite. And when you do get a chance to travel to Texas, if you do get into Austin, you'll be amazed at that building. It is gorgeous. And it's made out of pink granite. Okay.
Well, granite's good because, you know, the Alicanto just can't fly out a window. Since it's not a skyscraper, so the Alicanto can't just, you know, charge through any steel and glass window and just make a break for it. Granite is good for trapping at least one of them. And it depends on which one shows up first, the Alicanto or the Leprechaun. What I would do is I would actually try to take on each individual element at one at a time, because otherwise, if everybody shows up at once, you know, the Leprechaun, maybe the Leprechaun has some, you know, good old IRA boys as well, and everybody shows up at once, you'll end up with a Godzilla situation and just let them fight. So step one, you take out the IRA lads. Step two, you have to play hide and seek with a freaking leprechaun throughout an entire building. That's going to be less than fun. And once you at least ensnare it, because again, not sure how you kill a leprechaun, but I know you can catch the suckers. Step three is you put down the Alicanto. And again, don't know the mythology, but I'd go with something heavy, grenade launcher. And you know it's dead because you wind up with a pool of gold in the middle of the floor. And congratulations, game over.
I think that's excellent. My only alteration is there's got to be something folkloric or magical to kill this Alicanto. So I'm saying, I'm just making this up, like silver kind of like is the opposite of gold or copper or something. So you got to like trace the grenade launcher with some silver.
Dirt. And,
or dirt. Yeah, dirt.
Dirt, and here's why.
Okay.
The story started with these pots of gold turning into dirt.
Yeah.
Okay. So somewhere along the way.
Ooh, and it has to be the dirt from the pot of gold.
And specifically these last three, because we're talking about three steps to take this story into completion.
All right. Works for me.
So the dirt from the last three pots.
Yeah. Oh, from the last three. That's excellent.
All right. Well, folks, we've been on the phone with Declan Finn. I'm William Atkinson, and
this is John LeMay.
You've been listening to Plot Pit, Forging Fiction from Fact and Folklore. Tomorrow's episode, we're going to be doing an author interview with Declan and discover a little bit more about his works. For now, thank you for your time today, Declan. Why don't you give us your socials for our listeners?
Well, on Twitter, I am Declan Finn Books. On I believe my Facebook page is DeclanFinn.author. I know, how creative. You can pretty much put in Declan Finn on any social media site and I will show up. The only one I'm not on is BitChute, That's mainly because I can't figure out how to work it just yet.
BitChute?
BitChute. It's mostly for techies. It's crypto. I'm actually going to be sending you my quote-unquote link tree that'll have all the links attached to me.
All right.
So you can just stick it in the metadata of your notes.
Oh, absolutely. We'll leave links to socials and your books in the podcast description below. Again, thank you for your time today, Declan. Looking forward to our author interview next.
Same here.
All right, folks, you've been listening to Plot Pit, Forging Fiction from Fact and Folklore. William Atkinson,
John LeMay,
and Declan Finn on the phone. Again, thank you for your time today, Declan.
Thank you.
All right, until next time.